This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go, hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. What are we laughing at? What am I missing here?
They put out purple and old.
Old ass.
That was pretty good.
That is pretty good. That's a good headline. I had to say the folks that do the headlines in the AM for ESPN have been on a heater lately. Honestly, it's been pretty good. They've had some winners. All right, we have got a lot to get to on the radio broadcast this morning. Before we do, I will tell you that the phone lines are open for you this AM. The phone line to call in and get on the air is 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE is that number. That is also the number to text the radio broadcast, 844-326-3663. Let me make your life a little easier for you here, because that's what Lonzo and I are here for, to make your lives better. And I got to say, we're pretty good at it. Just make us a contact in your phone, okay? Just make a contact in your phone. You can call it the Fan Upstate. You can call it the good radio station. You can call it buttholes with microphones. I don't care what you call it. But just make us a contact in your phone and then add the number.
That show's no longer on the station.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday morning. It's Buttholes with Microphones here on the Fan Upstate.
It's the day after Friday Eve.
844-326-3663. Add that number, and that way you can just make a text thread. And anytime you want to text us, you just go to the contact, open up the thread, and drop a text in there. Like the texter who said during the break, LeJohn Bames is a hack, such a diva. You know, I'm kind of glad you brought that up. I'm kind of glad you brought that up. Last night, Inside the NBA on TNT was live. Chuck Barkley's on that show. I'm a fan. Chuck Barkley was asked about the concept of somebody being the face of the league. And Chuck said this. I like that take. I like that take. I agree with that take entirely from Chuck. But it's what he said at the end of that take that, to me, was the loudest part of that take. He said, this is a result of how much we give these guys. That's why nobody wants to play in the All-Star game, because we give them so much that it gets to the point that they don't feel like they have to earn it. You've heard the concept of the face of the league. I don't care what you say. LeBron James is the face of the NBA. Before him, Kobe Bryant was the face of the NBA. Before him, Michael Jordan was the face of the NBA. Before him, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird were the faces of the NBA. Shaq, for a couple of years, was the face of the NBA. There's been faces of the NBA. I'm not saying that the concept of the face of the blank doesn't exist. It very does. But I think the point is, all of these guys, and I do include LeBron in this part of the conversation, they went out and took that title. But LeBron, when he took that title, and you can make the argument of where he took it and where you no longer agreed with it, if you think he is a, quote, hack, end quote. You can say it's when he left to go to Miami and build a super team. You can say when he left Cleveland a second time. Although, I do think we give Cleveland a pass for their bad ownership. The second time we're almost there, you can say it's when he went to the Lakers. You say whatever you want to say. LeBron James has been celebrated for the face of the league so long and has become such a celebrity outside of the basketball world that to some degree, and I've said this before, to some degree, I kind of hold us accountable for the attitude, mentality, whatever you want to call it, of LeBron James. I kind of hold us accountable for that. When you allow someone to feel as if they are bigger than the game, don't be shocked and or surprised when they start to act like they are. And I think there is, as much as I am still a fan, still a stan, whatever the young people say nowadays, of LeBron James, I do think there is an element to that. I do think he has been considered the face of not just the NBA, honestly, the face of basketball internationally for so long that it's in his head that that's what he is. And if I'm the face of a thing, don't I deserve special treatment? I mean, I'll keep it a buck with you. I think everybody in the world except Lonzo is to some degree guilty of that. If you get placed in a position where you are the face of the thing, you may get to a point where you kind of start to feel like, well, if I'm that important to this thing, that you will call me the face of that thing.
Wow, are you saying I'm not good enough to be the face of something?
No, I'm saying
that's
even
what I'm
though...
taking it. I mean, because I...
Buddy, you're clearly a face of the league. Your face is on the building, all right? But what I'm saying is Lonzo is above that. Lonzo gets named the face of the fan upstate. He works even harder. Most people aren't that. The one thing I will say about that, and then we'll do an abbreviated water cooler cheat sheet. I'll say this. You guys seen LeBron James with his shirt off lately? That dude looks like he's 24. That dude's jacked, he's cut, he's shredded, he's ripped, whatever you want to say. The one thing I'm not going to take is anybody saying, oh, the work ethic's not there. Have you seen the way LeBron James is built? You seen the way he's cut? You seen the shape he's in right now? You know any other 40-year-olds on planet Earth that look like he looks right now? Not really. I don't. I certainly don't. The one thing I will not critique is dude doesn't have a work ethic. Now, you may think that he feels entitled, but let's be real. Have we as a country, or at least we as a basketball fan base, not to some degree, got a little bit of the blame of that because we have treated him that way for so long? When you treat somebody as if they are the king, don't be shocked when they call themselves a king and act like a king. Am I right? Hey, you got a little over 51 minutes until you got to be to work. Little over 51 minutes till you got to clock in, lock in, and be a productive member of society, even though it's Friday and you don't want to. Which means you are at some point going to be taking a break, which means you are at some point going to be walking down that long hallway and going to talk sports with your coworkers. And if you're gonna go talk about sports, you got to know what's going on, right? And if you got to know what's going on, you need somebody to tell you what's going on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're here for. That's why we do this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. When you do this, is what you will be talking about. Let us get to item number one. In case you missed it last night, or in case you missed us talking about it this morning, the Four Nations Face-Off Hockey Tournament had its finals last night. The gold medal, championship, whatever you want to call it, Team Canada, Team USA, this one on the home soil of the red, white, and blue. But the game was taken home by the red and white, the blue. Left alone. Team Canada, 3-2 winners in overtime over Team USA in the Four Nations face-off final contest last night. It was, honestly, real good basketball game, or hockey game. I got basketball in the brain. Real good hockey game last night. The Americans just a little bit out of sorts, a little bit panicky, started throwing stuff, spraying and praying down to the attacking third. They just kind of got out of their game a little bit. Canada did not play the most elite hockey game I've ever seen, but they didn't have to. I think Canada realized about 8 minutes into this game, the Americans aren't themselves tonight. They're making mistakes tonight. They are chasing the puck. When they are on defense, on the offensive side, they're just kind of chucking the puck down to the other end and hoping that they can beat us down there. We don't have to be special. We just got to be good enough. And the Canucks were. That includes Jordan Binnington, their goalkeeper, faced 33 shots, made 31 saves, including a pair of absolute bleep missiles from Captain Austin Matthews of the red, white, and blue in the overtime period. My dude put on the cape and turned into Superman, did Jordan Binnington. 31 stops on 33 shots. The Americans had a goal recorded by Brady Tkachuk, who has been excellent in this tournament, had a goal recorded by Jake Sanderson, had plenty of other opportunities, but just could not find the back of the net against Binnington. Again, dance with the girl that brought you. I don't think the Canucks did anything special to get the Americans out of sorts. I don't think that they did anything to change their defense in a way that allowed or forced the Americans to be special or to not be special or whatever you want to call it. I think the Canucks just said, hey, look, at the end of the day, they're going to make the mistakes if we let them. So let's take advantage of them. And they did, and it was more than good enough. Team Canada takes home the Four Nations Final Cup and gold medals last night. I think it was a spectacular tournament. I think it was an electric tournament. I think it was a tournament that put on display for the world how good the sport of hockey is if you give it a chance. That's what I think, and I'm standing on that. Item number two. We mentioned this in the last segment. I feel that it is worthy of being mentioned again. LeBron James in a 110-102 Lakers win over the Portland Trailblazers last night without Luka Doncic, thank you very much, Frankie. Without Luka, drops a 40-piece on the Blazers. That 40-piece makes LeBron the first player in the history of the National Basketball Association to have multiple 40-point games after turning 40 years of age. LeBron James turned 40 back in December. Since then, he has put 2 40-point burgers up on the scoreboard. The Lakers are 2-0 in those contests. I said it a few minutes ago. I'll say it again. LeBron James is having a historic season. You don't have to like him. I don't really care how you feel about him personally. If you're a basketball guy, even if you hate LeBron, I'd suggest you tune into some Laker games, and I'd suggest you do it more and more regularly because not only is his season historic, but I'm going to tell you now, Luka Doncic is going to round into shape. Luka Doncic is going to find his chemistry within this Laker team. And when LeBron and Luka get on the same page, because I don't believe that they are yet, but they've only played, what, 3 games together so far. When those two get on the same page, this Lakers team is going to be good. It just is. We'll talk some more NBA later on in the show. Let us get to item number three. We got about 2 minutes left before I got a call for the music to go out for a break. That's not enough time to play sound and talk about it, is it? That would delay the show. That would make the show unbearable for fans.
You wouldn't want to do that when you have guests coming up. I'm just going to point that out.
I know, because if you played sound at this point, you'd have to move everything back. The fans would be upset. It would delay the show. First inning of the first spring training game of 2025, Cubs and Dodgers. Opening frame, we get our first spring training challenge using the ABS. It took 16 seconds. That's what we added. And oh, by the way, it was a successful challenge. It was called a ball. The ABS showed on the scoreboard it was very clearly a strike. 99% of the baseball was in the zone. Successfully challenged, it added 16 seconds to the game. 16 seconds it added to the baseball game. I needed one challenge to show that I was right. It's not going to delay the game. Everything's great. Right. It was amazing.
16 seconds. How many people in it are up during an inning? There are nine innings. I mean, it's going to start to pile up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 16 seconds it took. 16 seconds. If both teams use four, if we do that eight times, it's going to add what? 3.5 minutes to a baseball game? If 3.5 minutes is what causes you to stop watching a baseball game, you weren't watching the baseball game. You just weren't.
Rob Brown hates humans.
Rob Brown likes accurate calls in sports. Rob Brown also likes the Greenville Triumph. Doug Irwin, CEO. Chris Lewis, president. Join us next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Welcome back to Rob Brown Show on your radio, The Fan Upstate. I don't know that the next, say, 13, 14 minutes of this radio program is going to be hockey free. I know that if it's not, it's going to take a very somber tone. Because joining us now on the radio program are a pair of gentlemen that have been friends of the show and friends of mine on and off the air, and two gentlemen that I had the pleasure and privilege of watching the Team USA Team Canada game with last night. The president of the Greenville Triumph, Chris Lewis, the CBO of the Greenville Triumph, Doug Irwin, joining us here on the show. I'm going to make it 45 seconds, fellas. I'm sad. I wanted that one a lot.
Yeah, that was... I don't know. I'm a bit stitious, so I was worried that there was a bit of 2010 vibe with winning in the quote group round, and what that meant in 2010 when Sidney Crosby ended our gold medal hopes in overtime, and last night ended up kind of heading down that same path because somehow Jordan Binnington figured out how to stop a puck in a big spot. And the puck went the other way and ended up in our net because somehow we couldn't find the best player in the world all alone in front of our goal.
Hey, Doug, maybe don't leave Lionel Messi open in front of the net, eh?
That seems like a good strategy that we should have learned in 2010 if Crosby did it. And then you get the next iteration of Sidney Crosby open in front of the net 15 years later.
Oh, All right, let's talk soccer because I have optimism and hope in the landscape of soccer. The reason that we are having Doug and Joe, pardon me, here on the radio program is because, fellas, Doug and Chris, I'm an idiot. Listen, I stayed up late last night too, okay? Yeah. I did. I told you when I left. I regret this already. Obviously, because we are now inside of just a couple of weeks away to the kickoff of the Greenville Triumph season. We will come to that here in just a couple of minutes. But a handful of days ago, a report started circling around that the USL, which is the league structure of which the Greenville Triumph are members, is floating the concept of creating another league at the top of their pyramid and a league that they would consider to be a potential rival for MLS. That's exciting enough for me as it is. Competition, to me, is a good thing. The exciting thing about it, however, fellas, is the concept of having promotion and relegation, as most of the major European leagues do, which means that teams would be able to move up and eventually, with enough success, move into that top league of the USL. I want to start this conversation, and I'll let you guys go in whatever order you want to go in, by simply asking the question, number one, how much have you guys heard about this from inside channels that you can share with us? And number two, if it comes to fruition, what impact might that have on the Greenville Triumph within the USL pyramid structure?
Well, Rob, I'll start, and then Chris, I'll let you talk about the impact. Yeah, I think one of the things that Chris and I appreciate is I wouldn't say we know all the ins and outs, but the league, both to us and then into to the media recently, haven't shied away from the idea of it. And I think I respect that off the bat, because normally when you ask any league executive, at any level, any sport, anything about a major competition change, it's mum's the word. And the league, you know, has mentioned this in interviews as recently as yesterday, the president of the league. So it's something that is openly discussed, and I think the league is openly wanting, interested in, if the teams want it. And I think one of the biggest stumbling blocks so far has been, some of these larger teams that are MLS-sized markets that are playing in the USL that have been worried about relegation, and I totally understand that. There are a handful of these teams that are actively, even though they're in the USL, have actively or are actively in potential MLS exploratory discussions. So it'd be very damaging to their business model. So I think getting the opportunity for some of those leagues and some of the new some of those clubs and some of the new prospective markets to have more of a cushion between relegation to the third tier with a new league has helped already advance that discussion. So it's encouraging to see how bullish, a lot of people at the league office are on the prospect of it, and certainly a lot of the teams, Chris.
No, for sure. And to kind of build on that, Rob, we've heard about ProRel for probably 2 years now. It came up a couple of years ago in a league board of governors meeting that we were in. There was what I'd call robust conversation about it. And it just kind of, we had to set it aside because we got to a point in the conversation where because this was a mixed group of championship and League One governors. And we had to set it aside because it just wasn't getting anywhere. So now you fast forward, and there's been conversations along the way within League One circles, amongst presidents, amongst governors, with the league, et cetera. And, to what Doug said, the league did a real good job of keeping this under wraps until they wanted it out, which hasn't historically always been the case with League One in particular. There was a call where primary owners, so Doug and I weren't even on this call, it was Joe on this call, and they let the primary owners know what the plan was. And then, literally hours before the announcement came out, like Doug and I found out. we were just recently at a meeting where we talked about it. We were able to ask some questions about it. And, you know, I think the immediate impact is this. It's, you know, I heard you while I was driving into the office yesterday talking about it. It's being talked about. It's all over The Athletic. It's in the, you know, the social media channels and those circles. And it's creating conversation about the game. It's getting people to think about what could something other than the norm that we know, at least in the U.S., be. And it provides an interesting business proposition from, you know, League One all the way up to whatever they're going to call this, whether it's, you know, USL Premier or what have you. But it adds that element that I guess the real soccer, the people that have followed the sport closely and are have allegiances overseas and those kinds of things, it introduces that kind of concept and something that they really can relate to over here. And yeah, there'll have to be some education to some things, you know, as this develops, but it's a cool, it's a really cool element. And I think it'll be real interesting to see how it progresses now that it's out there.
Yeah.
Because the cool thing is that it's out there and we don't have to do this with vagaries and, you know, talk behind the scenes.
Yeah, no top secret plan. I want to go back to something that you said, Doug, because this was something I thought about after the show yesterday, the initial reaction. I'm all in for, I still am right now, but it makes sense that teams, whether they would be teams that are currently in USL Championship or potentially new teams that could be added, top level teams, whatever, it would make sense that big teams wouldn't be in love with the idea because relegation is relegation. That is, that there's a reason that the structure, the sports landscape is the way it is here versus in other continents. At the same time, I got to assume teams like the Greenville Triumph would be huge fans of this idea because it would be a way that you guys could drive up the stakes and the value the same way big teams could say we would lose value. The question mark here is, would there be enough support at smaller club levels, like in Greenville, like in Chattanooga, like in Asheville, that would offset the hesitation from some of big clubs to where you go, hey, sorry about you, big clubs, but what's good for the goose is good for the gander. There's enough support in the small clubs wanting the opportunity that we feel like it's worth the risk that we put you under. Is there that much support from the smaller clubs to drive this forward?
Yeah, it's a great point, Rob. I think, you know, it's easy for us to sit in our chair and say we're for it because to us, at least initially, it's only promotion, right? You know, we're in that bottom pyramid or bottom tier of the pyramid of professional soccer in America. So, you know, I know amongst our league mates, there is a ton of support for the concept. But it's not just, it's also easy to say that because we're at the bottom of the pyramid. I think bullishly, a lot of our clubs feel like we can compete with the championship, and we have competed, and in many cases have beat the championship. And that's no slight to the championship. It's if anything, it's just credit to U.S. soccer and all these communities that have good clubs. And one of the stepping stones, you know, I don't want to get on a tangent too much to this has been League One owners wanting to create the Jägermeister Cup to give us a chance to play these championship clubs, which we will get this year. You know, last year was the first year of the cup and we just played it within our league, but we were hopeful that the championship would join and they're joining this year. But I think that you'll find unanimous or near unanimous support in, you know, Chattanooga, Statesboro, Charlotte Independence for the concept. But I think the surprising thing is how many people in the championship support it, because yes, there's the prospect of relegation, but there also is all the you know, intrigue, value, opportunity that comes with the added eyeballs that Pro Rel would bring. So yes, in the championship and this new league, you're risking more, but man, you're also creating a lot more fans, and that's going to help us all.
Has there been, Chris, any discussion that we're aware of? Because I know it is early in the conversation. I know there's plenty of distance between here and this potentially becoming a reality. But Has there been any discussion about discuss interest with media partners? Obviously, this idea is only going to float if there's a way to get it on TV, get it out there in the public eye, get people to support it, et cetera. Has there been any conversation? They had a good working relationship with ESPN to carry USL League One games on ESPN Plus, et cetera. I've seen championship games being played on ESPN, the channel, et cetera. Is that a little further down the line, or is that kind of a piece of the conversation as it stands today?
I guess I'd answer that, Rob, with both. It's certainly the media conversations and building out that aspect of our business has been something that from the League One level specifically, we've been banging the drum for years now. One of the real cool things with League One is that there's a real sense, like it's very fraternal. There's a real sense of collaboration. We compete on the field, but we know that it's, you know, rising tide lifts all boats, and we all need to be viable and sustainable. So how can we help and push each other? And as importantly, if not more, how can we as a collective group push the league to do things that are going to bring us to a new level and to create that measure of sustainability and viability. So, you know, the league is always having conversations in the background about media. There's an ongoing effort to get more of a, what I guess I'd call traditional media deal, although with the MLS Apple TV, like what is traditional now, right? But there is a push to that, to move, you know, not off of streaming, because you're always going to have that, but to have more of, you know, the over the air kind of broadcasting going on. This has certainly sparked some more conversation and maybe some more substantial and in-depth conversation with the league because of what this prospect holds. And oh, by the way, the league also launched a Division One Women's Pro League back in August. And, you know, just in general, with the growth and the path that women's professional sports have taken, that's created its own set of conversations that have been interested, you know, interested media partners have been talking with the league about. So I think there's a real opportunity here for the whole USL ecosystem to be brave and to go out and do something that could significantly, you know, again, at the risk of sounding dramatic, be historical for what this sport is and what this sport means in the U.S.
Dramatic is what we do here on the show, Chris. You know this. All right. I got another minute or two here with Doug Irwin, CBO from the Greenville Triumph, Chris Lewis, president of the club. The next question, and I think this is the biggest one, fellas. So if you both want to have a take before we move on, I'm happy to hear them both. I want to hear them both. What does this mean for Greenville? My thought yesterday, I talked about it. This is a team that since its inception coming into year six has been consistently a playoff team, has been consistently a championship threat, has consistently under John Harkes, now under Rick Wright, put forward very good football teams, has had a ton of success, which leads me to believe that if this model was enforced today, Greenville would be a team that would be a promotion threat right out of the chute to move up to Champions League. And if there's another league above that, you'd like to think a couple more years of doing things the right way and having those additional resources to invest, you guys would be able to follow that same model. Diesel and I've had the conversation. Could Greenville have a professional team? And my answer for a long time has been, I don't know if we have the infrastructure. I don't know if we have the support. The Greenville Triumph have the support. The stadium's coming. The infrastructure seems to be well on its way to development. Is this a possible path towards Greenville having its first genuine top-tier professional sporting team, that being the Greenville Triumph, if this comes to fruition?
You know, yes is the short answer. It's the path. It's a path that has not existed, you know, like this through competition in American sports. And it's something that we welcome. And as we look to build the stadium, we factor in, you know, what does it look like at the next level in terms of capacities and, you know, what we need. So we, you know, there will be clubs that sit it out effectively, I think, in terms of how they put a team together. I don't think we will be one of those that sits it out. We will be gunning for promotions. I think Chris would back me up on that, knowing what it could mean for the business.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you look at our club historically on the pitch, We've always been in a position that had, if there was promotion, that we'd go up. From the time the Irwins began this whole journey, one of the first conversations Joe had with the league when he was talking about, you know, becoming an owner and establishing the club here was, you know, well, why do we have to talk about League One? We're every bit the market that, you know, that Charlotte is, because they were up there at that time, or Charleston is. Why can't Greenville be in the championship? And it was kind of like, well, this is what we're trying to do. And he bought in. And again, I think the league feels this way, and you know, our colleagues and even teams in the championship feel like we do, our players, et cetera, feel like we do things very much like a championship club does. So I think certainly that opportunity, with obviously the stadium project in Malden, you know, continuing to move forward, there's opportunity there to do that. And if there's a step beyond championship at some point, and we feel our business model can sustain it and is ready for that, then, you know, this was kind of the mantra that Rick had with the team coming down the stretch of last season and into the playoffs. Why not us?
I like it. I like it. Chris Lewis is the president of the Greenville Triumph. Doug Irwin, the CBO, both of them friends on and off the air. Gentlemen, appreciate it. You may go back to bed and sulk further now if you wish.
I'm going to go pour some Cheerios and cry in them, though.
Yes, I mean, I thought you were going to finish that sentence with bourbon, but I respect it either way. Fellas, appreciate you guys. Looking forward very much. Going to be a big supporter of this project because I think it'd be good for all of us. See you guys next time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on, guys.
Chris Lewis, Doug Irwin, Rob Brown, and Lonzo back after this. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Thanks again to Chris Lewis and Doug Irwin, the president and CBO of the Greenville Triumph, respectively. Look, I auditioned for this job 5 years ago. As a matter of fact, we're a week away from the five-year anniversary of the debut of the... Actually, Lonzo, technically...
Thank you for not counting every show. Yeah. That's just crazy.
Technically, if you want to be technical, next Tuesday will be the five-year anniversary of the start of the show, but I did that first week from down in Florida... before I officially moved up here the next weekend. The 1st of March will be the five-year anniversary of this radio program. And I've told this story many times, so I'll keep it as short and sweet as I'm capable of. When I got my audition for this job, when I got the call, hey, we'd like you to come up and do a couple of shows and, you know, let us get a feel for you. You get a feel of the market. Booked flight, came up, booked an Airbnb over off of Stone Street downtown. I wanted to be close to downtown. I wanted to check out downtown. I was young, hip, and single back in the day. Wanted to see what downtown Greenville, South Carolina was all about. Booked an Airbnb, flew in, picked up my rental car, went to the Airbnb to drop off my bag before I went out to party hardy. Got to the Airbnb, went in. First thing that I noticed when I walked in the kitchen was a big Greenville Triumph magnet on the fridge of the Airbnb. And it was obviously a soccer crest. So I'm like, oh, we got soccer here. Let me check this out. So I did and learned all about the Greenville Triumph. Unfortunately, it was just a couple of weeks before they started that season, so I was unable to attend a match. But learned a bunch about them, got the gig, came down, started going to games the first season that I was here back in 2020. Now, that was COVID. So I was one of like seven people in the stadium until later in the year when they were kind of able to start opening up the games for fans again. And I can say that I have met the overwhelming majority of what I now call my circle at Triumph Games. That's where I met most of the people that I am now friends with in the upstate of South Carolina. They have done a tremendous job of connecting with this community. I've said for a very long time, of all the teams that I have worked with in the 17 years that I've been in this industry, the two that are the best, and I mean this being very sincere, are the Greenville Swamp Rabbits and the Greenville Triumph. Those two teams, both of whom I have grown very close with as a broadcaster and become friends with their front office administration of both. Frankly, had representatives of both teams at my wedding in September. As I have grown my relationship with those two teams, I can tell you that of all the teams that I've worked with between Pensacola, Mobile, Jacksonville, New Orleans, of all the places that I've ever lived, worked, broadcasted, etc., those two teams care more about community impact, being good community members, than any of the rest of them. The reason I'm excited about the Triumph and this potential league upgrade is the fact that even when certain elements of the community have pushed back against the Greenville Triumph, and they have, whether it's the new stadium or making special exemptions for different things, whatever. And I'm not saying that in like a negative way. They've all had their political and or philosophical reasons for doing so. Some of them good, some of them understandable, even if I don't agree. Some of them I understand and agree with, and some that are philosophically, in my opinion, bad reasons. Joe and Doug and Chris and the rest of that organization have always said, no matter what happens, community organization first. During that same period of time, as I have said before, there have been a few conversations that remain evergreen in the world of sports talk radio broadcasting, both nationally and in the market. One of the conversations that has been an evergreen topic that Diesel and I have had conversations about on the air when he and I shared a show together, off the air as we have tagged out, etc. One of the conversations that has come up routinely is, could Greenville, South Carolina end up being a location that has a top-tier professional sports team? And my answer has been, historically, no. No. The NHL is not coming here. The NHL is, I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, going to Atlanta, Georgia. They got a team in Raleigh, North Carolina already. They've got teams due south of us in Florida, a pair of them. We're not a viable NHL market, in my opinion. The NBA is not coming to Greenville, South Carolina. And if they did, it would require Greenville to build an NBA stadium downtown. Number one, I don't know that there's the room. I don't think it would fit the footprint of the Bonscore Wellness Arena as is currently laid out. Number two, you know how, because we've talked about it a billion times, ownership groups at that level work. They would want a massive amount of money from the community to go back into their pocket for their resources that they would earn. I'll say own. And just based on what we've seen with the interaction between the city, the community, and the Triumph, that ain't happening. So the NBA's out. Certainly not going to get an NFL team that is, you know, 2 hours from Charlotte, 2 hours from Atlanta. Your best option for getting a professional sports club, frankly, is soccer. You've got a national championship team, two-time, right down the road in Clemson, South Carolina. Charlotte FC didn't really have the year they wanted last year. Still a playoff team in MLS. The Carolinas are, whether you like it or not, I would say the fastest growing soccer community in the, maybe in the United States. There are bigger soccer communities, Portland, Oregon, Austin, Texas, et cetera, et cetera. Seattle, Washington. But in terms of upward trajectory of the popularity of the sport in the area, the Carolinas are right there. And if you take out Charlotte, which obviously already has an MLS team, and you were looking, where could we put a professional soccer team that could build a following? Greenville, South Carolina is the most rapidly growing city. I believe it's still in the top five nationally, certainly in South Carolina. It's the perfect venue. Even with that, I've said for a while, I don't think you're getting an MLS team. Same reason with the NBA. You got a team in Charlotte, you got a team in Atlanta. Same with the NFL, team in Charlotte, team in Atlanta. I don't know that it would work. If a new league pops up and you end up with a team in the USL, let's say it's called USL Premier, you would have a team here. There is the potential for a team in Charlotte, the Independents, also a USL League One team. They could be promoted up to that top notch. But I would say it'd be a more difficult journey for them, A, as a younger club and a club that did not have the out-of-the-gate success that the Greenville Triumph have had, and a team that would be trying to directly compete with Major League Soccer, with Charlotte FC, owned by David Tepper, playing in an NFL stadium right there. I think Greenville's a more viable option. And on top of all of that, everything for the club is already here. Everything you need is already here. The leadership of that team has been excellent. I'm not saying that to blow smoke. I have told Doug and Chris over time, straight to their faces, I don't love this decision, or I don't disagree, I don't agree with that, or this move's bad, or that player is not my guy, or whatever. I love the guys because they allow me to be honest as both a friend and a broadcaster. But the leadership of this team has been excellent. The addition of John Harkes as the head coach right out of the gate, the ability to talk an international legend to come be the coach of a brand new lower-level professional soccer club, gave that team a rocket strapped to their back to start. They have been a promotion target, if it existed, since the inception of the club. You got a million-person market, so the fandom is here. You got a growing soccer community, thanks to Clemson, thanks to Charlotte, etc. So that's here. You've got the agreement to build the stadium up in Malden. That will debut in 2026. That's there. And there's enough room out there that it could be expanded and grown and developed if the popularity starts to grow. So it's in a spot that they would likely be promoted relatively soon if this happened. Greenville is one of the fastest growing communities. It is a soccer community. And it would be one of the most visited destinations of this new league, I would assume. People are coming here to vacation all the time. All the time. When I told people I was moving here to take this job, I can't tell you how many people said, I've been to Greenville. It's amazing. You're going to love it. That place is beautiful. The city's great. The surrounding community is great. The nature, when you point the car in any direction and go, it's all beautiful. A lot of people come here to visit, which means that when a soccer club from Kansas City in the USL League was to come here for a game, if we were a top-notch professional team, they'd bring a massive amount of people who would bring quite a bit of money to pump it into the community. That allows them to reinvest back into the team. That allows the team to continue to reinvest into itself. This is a big deal. So I said yesterday, and I'll say it again today, if this concept, this top-tier USL league, continues to develop, continues to form, and starts to shape up to be a genuine reality. Right now, again, as Chris said, yeah, it's in a solid idea format, but it's still in an idea format. If this idea continues to solidify, and if it gets to a point where it looks like this thing is like ready to go and it just needs the push, I am going to annoy you all by being its biggest cheerleader, its biggest supporter. I will be reaching out to the office and going, hey, what can I do as a broadcaster? What can I do to be involved, to get involved, to stay involved? What can I do to help? Because it's not about the league. It's not about promotion relegation becoming maybe something that is a bigger deal in American sports, which I hope it does. It's the only way you can punish bad owners. Sorry, talk about that later. But because of the fact that I genuinely believe the Greenville Triumph are in a position to become the first top-tier professional sporting team in this market. And I think if they do and they become successful, now we're on the sports radar nationally. And that's a good thing for everybody, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion. Also, in my opinion, nobody on planet Earth reads a sports flash like Lonzo does.
Well, there are some guys who come close. South Carolina's women's basketball team got back on the winning side last night, recording a 40-point, 95-55 win over Uncle. That's a butt-whooping. The Gamecocks were led by Joyce Edwards, 18 points, and Malaysia Fawali's 15 points, both coming off the bench. Bree Hall had 14, and Chloe Kitts had 10 with 13 rebounds tacked on. The Gamecocks are now 24-3 overall and 12-1 in conference, tied with Texas atop the league. LeBron James continues to set NBA records in his 20th season. James dropped 40 points in a 110-102 win over Portland. It was the second time James has scored 40 since turning 40 back in December, making him the only player in NBA history to do that. Tune in tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. as Furman Paladins take on the VMI Keydets. It's Furman versus VMI right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, The Fan, Upstate.